if you would look with us, pray the Lord will help us. I've got a lot of thoughts and things I feel like the Lord is enlightened with, and so much more so that I don't know that I don't know, and some things I do know that I don't know. I've already seen that and how dumb I am. So I'll share with you what little I can God gives us utterance to speak to you about, and you'll have to give it to get anything out of it, because if it comes to me, you won't get a thing. So I don't intend to come to me. I'll open up the Lord lets me and speak what he gives me, and that'll be sufficient and hush when he's through. But I want you to look in, you don't have to turn over there, but in Isaiah chapter 6, these are noted and tells us who these particular creatures or creations are here as he sees them in the temple there. It's all the glory of the glory of God of Israel and his train filling the temple. And these were seraphims. It tells you very plainly what they are. And in the book of Ezekiel, these are cherubim. Cherubs, it tells you a little bit further over, if you're a little bit further over exactly who they are. And they're angels too. You notice they're also the same ones that they put up in figures in the holiest of holies, with their hands stretched forth one another and over the mercy seat and so on and so forth. These represent things that are in heaven, and the things that if they liken these looks of these different types of creatures as a comparison of things that they were familiar with. So they said they were likened unto certain things like a man's face, a face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a lion, you know. These things are what that they look like unto him, and so he likened them. It said likeness of their faces. And these different creatures here, there was four of them, and they had, of course, all these had the same characteristic, but they were cherubim. And you can look over in chapter, I think it's chapter number 10. Let me run real quick, like, if you want to run a little reference and look for yourself. He identifies who they are and tells you very plainly about these particular ones. So you look in chapter 10, read the whole chapter, if you would, please, and see that he talks about the cherubs, and then he talks about in verse 20, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar, and I knew that they were cherubim. So he tells you what they are. They're angelic forces. There's all different types. I told you, principalities and powers, different degrees, like we have in our governmental affairs here in this life. We have different stages of seats of authority, county level, city level, state level, federal level, worldwide levels. You know, have all those kind of people that sit up in seats of authority, power to be ordained of God. And, of course, the good powers are those who are the punishment of evildoers, as Paul talks about in the book of Romans. We have those set up. Oftentimes they get corrupt. That's not God. That's the devil. He twists things and defiles things and causes things to be an abomination instead of what God ordained them to be. So we have those powers here on this earth. They're likened unto principalities and powers in heavenly things, in heaven itself. God has statues of degrees of angelic forces and creatures and creations and things that we really don't even, I don't know nothing about. But the only thing God does, and of course, in his Bible, he reveals certain things and certain creatures and what they were likened unto, their looks there are, that they had. And of course, they themselves had responsibilities and duties and things that they performed in their creation. In the Revelation over there, you find out that these four beasts over there, they had the same face likeness of these that were mentioned here in this particular chapter here, but they did evidently a different job. They cried, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, is, yet to come." And you see there that the church was in heaven itself. The 24 elders represents the different tongues and nationalities of all the people upon all the face of the earth. That's after the rapture of the church. That took place when John, after the end of seven churches, the last of the seven churches, that will see in church age, he saw called up into heaven. Show you things what to meet here after. After what? At the end of the church age, when the church is called up into heaven. And then you see in heaven, after you see these four beasts as they cry out, "Holy, holy Lord God Almighty." Then you see the 24 elders that represent very plainly. It tells you nations, tongues, and languages, all these different people, the nationality of the church. The church who went up, as he was called up, John, the type of the church. When he was called up in the Lord's day, being Sunday, the first day of the week, called up in heaven itself, and saw things must be here after. So those, the four beasts over there, they have their own responsibility, and they cry out, and of course, to the people there, and they respond to it because they cast their crowns and everything that you might have labored over faithfully. Now, if you've had vain labor, it's going up in smoke. You'll have nothing to cast down at his feet. You'll fall prostrate before him when it's cried out of heaven. You can't help but do so because of his holiness, and we'll be in his presence. We'll be likened unto his blessed Son, have a body like him. How wonderful that'll be. Be able to praise Him in a perfect way then, but we'll fall down before Him. Then, of course, if you've been faithful, there'll be a crown that you might have won, different crowns, soul winner's crown, different types of crowns you can win as in your faithfulness as a child of God. And you'll fall down prostrate before His feet, and you'll cast them at His feet and cry out for Thy worthy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is yet to come. So He talks about that over in Revelation. So in there you can see that they have different creatures and creations, and He likens them unto these particular four things here, man, a lion, an ox, or a calf, silver, or an eagle. And these different things, they have different abilities that they were created to do. So you'll have to run a little thought and research in that to find that if He may be talking about as illustrated, they look like it, and it represents something that had to do with these different beasts. I don't know that, but I'm just saying there was a reason that they were created with these type of an image, this type of a face, and He likened them to those animals, and of course mankind, that these four beasts that were about this about the throne there, and of course as they were there doing what God had created them to do. Now there were four of them; they had four faces. Each one of them had four faces. Each one of them had a different type. You notice the cherubims had six wings. The cherubims had four wings. So that, of course, it talks about how they cover their face, their body, and their feet with the cherubims. The cherubims, of course, they have two up and two. Of course, they cover their bodies with that two downward and their feet. So you read in their study over that, and that represents some things, and I know very little about anything to be able to comment about why that position they took. Going up, of course, praising God, lifts up and going up, and then, of course, when they rested them down, they rested. But in this, we're going to read about this and talk about it, and you can look in here. I said this briefly, talked about it last week, because that's about all I know, just a brief maybe introduction about what is to be learned concerning this blessed book of the Bible that's spiritually given. Must be spiritually discerned. The carnal mind, the natural mind, the fleshly mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they in the flesh cannot please God. These fleshly preachers, so-called preachers, they make me sick to my stomach. And they make me want to vomit in their face. They're a bunch of fools. They've got education, but they've got no reconciliation. They've got no salvation. They're a bunch of dummies, a bunch of puppets, a bunch of pimps from Satan himself. Vine leaders of vine, they all going to fall in the ditch one day. After a while, God knows them that are His. Isn't that wonderful? They may deceive mankind, but they don't really deceive God because God knows them that are here. He said, every man that named the name of Christ depart from the lip. And now I told you, I believe this represents the fifth year. I believe there's been some satanic lunatic, an idiot, he's burning in hell now, who took within himself the liberty to change over to try to distort the word of God. He didn't change a thing. I believe this represents the fifth year, the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Then the first verse says, tell me what time it was, and when it was, and him being in captivity. He was carried over in Babylonian captivity under the reign of King Jehoiachin. He was the only one that was survived, of course, the carrying away. We know that the others were carried away, and they died. And, of course, God caused Nebuchadnezzar and his armies to kill Jehoiachin because it was very evil. And then, of course, Zedekiah, the last of the Judean king, who was the uncle of Jehoiachin, was the son of Jehoiakim. Jehoiachin was, he was carried over into captivity. We find that, of course, he was alive. He survived, and the king brought him up. Evil Merodach carried him up, brought him up in the 37th year of his reign, in his captivity, set him up on the throne, and he lived there, of course, and feasted there until, of course, the day that he died. But it was during that time. So we got evidence in the scriptures that what happened to him. Zedekiah, his boys was killed before his eyes. He rebelled, and Ezekiel prophesied now about that. This is the prince he's talking about a little bit further over. He can't see. He got something over his eyes, and he was blinded and carried into captivity. That's what he prophesied about. He prophesied. Now I'll tell you, look again, you'll see. And I've read understand when you read this, you'll see it's the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. So, excuse me, we got six more years of time when before Zedekiah is carried away captive and they burn the city and destroy and devour the sole city itself and leave it in complete ruins. That's not taking place as of yet. So when you see when he talks about the sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year, ninth year, the tenth year, the 11th year, he's getting up to the time. He prophesied himself about things that are going to happen, that are happening, and he's called to prophesy to the people that are in captivity over in the land of the Chaldeans, and he is by the river Chebar, such as where that may be, probably a little tributary, or maybe a minor river. I know that between the Euphrates and the Tigris River, They're two great rivers, and that's why they called it the land of Mesopotamia, meaning between two bodies of water. That's what that represents. And so they're over in this land. And this is particular of captives. He was taken captive, and he's by the river Chebar. The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Zechariah the priest, the son of Uzzah, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now he's announcing and telling him, making a proclamation, a declaration of the time when God called him to prophesy, when the word of the Lord come to him was in this time, the fifth day, the fifth year, when the word of God came to him, and he saw this great thing that came, that God sent down, this glory of God, and these beast-like creatures, these cherubim, representing the presence of God. He saw them, he saw the wheel within the wheel, each one had that as a revolving wheel, and he's telling us what the characteristics of these beasts look like. So he's trying to put that in some plain English that we would have somewhat with understanding what they look like as he saw them as they appeared unto him. They were by the river Chebar. Now if you'll notice in here, also he's of the priesthood. He gives his lineage there. He's the priest, the son of a priest, the son of Uzziah, and he was in the land of Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and he was in captivity. They've taken over in the time when, Jehoiachin was carried over into captivity. He was carried over that particular period of time. Now, the word of God comes to him in this fifth year, and of course, he said in the fifth day of the fifth month. So, we're talking about when it comes to him. He saw the glory of God. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Now, a whirlwind is like a funnel cloud that we've seen them. You've seen pictures. I'm hoping I never see one up close. But they come and they circle around and around, and they reach down and sweep up and draw up. Very destructive. The greater the wind, the more force and more damage that it'll do. So this was like under a whirlwind, or a twister, you may call it. It's turning, it's drawing. But this is like coming out of the north, a great cloud. And it's not a cloud of dust and smoke and that kind of thing. This is a cloud of fire. It's enfolding. It's turning inward and folding inward as it turns and it moves itself. And a brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. This was the color of amber, like amber is like when you see fire burning red hot. It's sort of orangeish red hot. It's just burning with a flame. And this is a fire that's turning and turning and turning like a cloud, a great cloud, like a twister. It's moving and it's turning and it's glowing. It's putting off fire and putting off light. As it said, out of the midst of fire. Out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. He said these four creatures, their characteristics had somewhat the likeness of a man. It had man. A man don't have wings, but overall it had the likeness of a man. To the face of a man, hands of a man, and different type things it talked about reminding him of a man. So it had the likeness of a man. And out of the midst there came the likeness of four creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and they were four different beasts, and each one of them had four wings, each one of them had four faces. Now they were here, here, and here, so that they didn't have to turn, they just wherever the Spirit led them, that's the way they went. They were in all directions, and they were all in agreement, they were all the same way, and whatever the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels, a wheel within a wheel, as they turned, as they burned. And of course, they shot out like lightning and returned just as fast and back and forth. These represent the power and the glory and the presence of God. They went before Him and they had the eyes over all their body, over the wings, over everything. They all seeing eyes. God's eyes over all their beholding good and evil. He sees all and knows all. And nothing God don't know about. And He's got these creatures that created. Of course, they come before the Lord, the living God, and they go out and they flow out in their presence and their power. And He's trying to show us a little bit about what they look like. He said that their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, it was just straight down, not like you and I. As I said, we got feet like this, and of course, if we want to turn, we got to stop and turn around. If we want to back up, we got to turn. If we can back up, we got to turn around. So our feet is headed in one direction. These feet, they could go anyway, like a calf, but it was round. The form of it was like a round, like it's like an undue calf, round feet. He said they had these feet and they sparkle like, of course, they glow out like the color of burnished brass. The burnished brass means they've been the fiery fires of God. It burnished them and they had the burnished look like they were, if they had been in fire. And they were, so they were glowing with a burnished brass look like sparkling like fire. And they had the hand of a man under their wings on their foreside, and their forehead, their faces, and their wings. They all had hands, they all had wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and the right on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, they had also the face of an eagle. And these were the four characteristics of their faces that each one of these had. All four of them had these four faces. Every one of them had on each side had these four faces. They represent something. I've got a thought or two, but not enough to comment about. I don't know. It only be speculation, a thought to come to mind thus far. If it's God gives me some understanding where I can say that to him, that I can identify it, I will. But I can't. I don't know. A lot of things I don't know. But in him, they represent something. I've got to set a few ideas, and maybe so, maybe not so, but I don't know. So they represent a certain thing, and he likened them unto that. They represent a different things each one does, and God created them as such, and he saw them as such, and they have a meaning. I don't know it. Thus were their faces, thus were their wings stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and they covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward where the Spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. As for the light is a living creature, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. And he went up and down among the living creatures, and their fire was bright. And out of their fire went forth lightning. And out of the go out in the living creatures, ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. They were that fast, just back in here, quicker than I can pop my hand, faster than that. That's how they moved. That's how quick they could move. And they were like lightning when it strikes, and a burning like a glow lit up the fire of God, lit up the fire of God. Lit up everywhere that their presence was seen. He saw all these things. He was blessed to see these things. And he was in captivity by the river of Chebar when the Spirit of God began to speak to him and deal with him and showed him his glory. And then when he seen his glory, likened unto the glory of the God of Israel, it caused him to do something. He fell right on his face. Now, most folk have never seen the glory of God like they need to. We see him in the face of Jesus. He's expressed image of God Almighty. And when you've seen God, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And so you've seen him and you know him as your personal Savior, but you never have got close enough, not clean enough, and are obedient enough to behold his glory. And until you do that, you see him as he is, you'll never find yourself falling prostrate down on your face. And then if you don't do that, then you're not going to get in the condition and the shape as the word God can speak to you and use you in his service. You must recognize and realize that you're vile and that you're wretched. And that you've got the problem that you need to iron out and straighten out. So he saw himself, he calmed himself, and then the word of God was revealed unto him. God spoke to him. Of course, he comprehended what God was saying. He obeyed it. He ate it. And boy, it was sweet like honey. He let it digest. And then when he ate the word of God, when it got rich in him, then he was able to go out and be what God called him to be. That was an effective witness and carry out the will of God, the word of God, and the way of God to manifest that to a confused bunch of people that was in captivity, rebellious, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted. He said, now they're going to be stiff-necked. They're hard-hearted. He said, hey, they didn't listen to me. They're not going to listen to you. He said, if I sent you to the Gentiles, the people of strange language, that, that would be different. But these people are dead. Boy, I'm telling you, they're stiff-necked. They're hard-hearted. And they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to pay any attention to you. Oh, they're going to revile you. They're going to speak up. They're going to do everything they possibly can to do to you and get away with. But don't you worry about it. I'm going to make you tougher and stronger and more stable and steadfast. Don't you worry about them. He said, when it comes, I'll see that you prevail. My word will prevail in you and through you. You just do like I told you to do, and don't worry about what they're saying or what they're doing. Don't be dismayed at their faces. Don't worry about what they got to say to you. You stand up, you claim my word, and we'll let that fall, and it'll do the job. You don't have to worry about what's taking place. Just be what I've called you to be. So he said, his life is these living creatures. The appearance was like burning fires of coal, like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures. The fire was bright. Now the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran in return as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures was with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and the work was like unto the color of a barrel. They four had one likeness. Their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went up for their four sides. And when they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them four. Every one of them had these eyes of all over them. I've read about them. The rings or the circumference of their circle of their reach or their outreach was so high it would dreadfully shed the power and the glory of these wheels within a wheel as it turned. And all the eyes, all seeing eyes, all the eyes, all powerful, the spirit of living creatures that was in the wheels. That's where it said it come from. And of course, the power of God, the glory of God was in these wheels. And when the living creature went, the wheels went by them. When the living creature lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whichever the spirit was to go, they went. They went for their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. The spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. That is, the life of the living creatures was inside the wheels. That's like the heart. That's where it come from. Their existence, their power came from the wheel. It was in the wheel. A wheel within a wheel that could see. It all known and all powerful. It all come from the wheel. When they went, these went. And when they stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. But the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the pyramid upon the head of the living creature was as the color of of terrible crystal stretched forth over the heads above. Above that, just clear as crystal up above these creatures. Above that, under the firmament, there were their wings straight, the one toward the other, and every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side their body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, and the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice of the firmament that was over their heads, which when they stood and had let down their wings, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. This likeness of a man, this represents God, the glory of God, the God of Israel, as he was above all these kind of things. They were believed and prostrate down before his feet. Of course, his glory was above all this, and it showed he saw that above these cherubims, above these creatures and these other things that he had beheld. He saw this likeness of a man. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, but the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw it was the appearance of fire, and it had been brightened round about. And listen, our God, the Bible said Hebrews is a consuming fire, a fire of holiness, a fire of goodness, a fire of mercy. He sees his fires, it burns and consumes iniquity and sin, and will do so in the final outcome when he does away with the man of sin. And all those that have joined up in his forces, when they have that part of the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, he'll consume all these things. And it'll be a wonderful time when he, of course, does away with sin and temptation itself, and we go into his presence. And he said he had the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that's in the appearance of the bow that's in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. When you fall on your face, and you got to behold his glory, first of all, before you can even have an idea. That's Isaiah. You remember his calling. He got his calling. When he came the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. And then he began to see himself. When God's glory comes around, it'll reflect yourself. When it does, you ought to do something about self. He did. He confessed to God. Now, he wasn't living a sinful life. He was a godly man. But yet he seen the depravity of his flesh. He saw how wretched his flesh was. And he cried out for mercy and for cleansing. And God heard him and took the tongues of fire from the altar. The fire of God purged him and purged his tongue. And then he had the hearing, he had the calling upon him. That's when he got his call. He heard the Lord. And he said, here am I. Who's going to send me? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. So he was ready to go out. And he was a very faithful and obedient servant who God used to reveal many, many things to him. Read Isaiah again. See all that God blessed him to understand and foresee about many things. Cyrus the Great, or Cyrus ever thought about. The virgin birth. The millennial reign, the coming of the Lord, the house of Israel, and being, of course, born at one, all kind of things, all through that. You can see that Isaiah, God benefited him and blessed him for his namesake, and he was an obedient servant because he kept the word of God, he obeyed the word of God, and the word of God the Son of Man stand upon thy feet. And I was speaking to thee. And the Spirit entered into me which when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Let me read that again. He said unto me, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Now, when God speaks to you, you've got to respond. You can't just lay down, sit on the stools and do nothing, act like a fool, and run after the flesh. If you do that, you're going to die. You're going to spend your life in a wasteful way. You're going to wind up being ashamed before him at his coming. You're going to wind up suffering a great loss. You're going to have nothing cast down at his feet. God have mercy on you. You better get obedient. When he speaks to you, you better stand up and recognize and realize that you need help and you want to serve him and you want to be obedient and you're going to be God being your helper. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up on my feet. That I heard him that spake unto me. When you obey him, the more you obey, the clearer his voice becomes. The easier it is for you to understand who it is that's instructing you and speaking to you. Man's not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is how we do the will of God by being obedient concerning his word. And he said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel, the rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are imputed children, stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether will hear, whether will bear, for they are rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. So it don't make a difference whether they hear or whether they don't. So they are going to know that the prophet been among them. When you come to them and you speak to them, I'm going to fulfill my word. What you I give you to speak will come to pass. You don't have to worry about it. I'll honor my word. I'll honor what you give them. And it don't matter whether they do or they don't. I hope they will, but if it don't, it'll not change it. My word's not coming back void. It'll accomplish what he's out to do, what he's pleased to do. Now thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their word. Though the briars and thorns be with thee, though thou dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words. Thou be dismayed at their looks, for though they be a rebellious house, thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious people. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, eat that I give thee. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. Now, when he said, I want you to eat it, he was looking to see what to eat. He was ready. He looked around. When I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me. And if you look around, you don't look, you're not going to see. You got to look if you're going to see. You got to search if you're going to find. You got to knock, going to be open unto you. You got to ask if you want it. When you ask, you need to do something about it, respond to what God speaks to you about to do and get started in the right way. And God will bless you and multiply your efforts and bless you in youth and service if you're just wanting to above life itself. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. Lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. There was written therein lamentation. He said, great lamenting and mourning. And then the thirdly, he said, oh, woe. When God says, woe, 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 you better believe it's not a joyful thing. It's a dreadful thing, a terrible thing, a horrible thing, a day of judgment. Woe, he said, lamentation and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. Go speak unto the house of Israel. And before you can speak to anybody, you've got to eat the Word of God. You've got to let the Word of God dwell richly in you. It's got to become your life. It's got to become your will and your way. You must obey the Word of God. You must keep the Word of God and let it dwell richly in you. He said, eat this roll. Open my mouth and he called me to eat that roll. Before he's not going to make you, you got to open up your mouth. You got to open up your will to the will of God. Open up your mouth and let the Lord fill you. Let God use you. Let God sanctify you through his Word. And he'll bless you and you'll be overwhelmed with how wonderful, how good it is and wonder why you spent so much wasted time in your flesh. Open up your mouth, he said, and eat this roll. So he opened his mouth and of course he ate the roll. He said to me, son of man, cause I better to eat. And when you put it in your mouth, I want you to swallow it. I want you to digest it. I want it to sanctify you wholly. I want you to take every bit of this, don't leave none of it off, and eat every bit of it. Get it down in your belly and digest it. That it might nourish your body, might nourish you so you can be strong in the Lord in the fire of mind. Fill thy bowels with this roll. Let it be filled with bowels of compassion that I give thee. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Of the word of God is sweeter than honey and honeycomb, more precious than gold, yea, above much fine gold. It's not to be compared with this book of the Bible. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light of my path. I want to hide his word in my heart. not sin against him, against God. Oh, how love I thy law. I'll tell you, this is my meditation. I want to meditate both day and night. That might be like a tree that's planted by the waters. Might be able to bring forth fruit in due season. We must yield our will to the will of God. If we do that and eat the word of God, let it sanctify us. We'll be a vessel for the fire. He said to me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. These folks are not these so-called ministers. 99 and 99 and 99 and 9 tenths or hundreds are apostates. They're not a thing in the world but a bunch of wolves in sheep clothes. Educated idiots. That's all they are. They do not have the word of God in them. It's all the tongue and cheek, mind and mouth. They're a bunch of vultures. God knows them, and they're going to have a special hot seat in hell. No wonder our country is in such a chaotic condition. For thou art not sent it unto a people of strange speech, but of hard language, but to the house of Israel. So this is not a speech you don't know. This is my people. It's your people. And not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I said to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Said, if you'd want to them, they would hearken. And of course they did. It was given the gospel to the Gentiles. He come as all his own, receiving not, and many for this reason, them gave you power to become the sons of God. The men that believe on his name. So the Gentiles, they have responsibility to carry out the mission of which Israel failed so miserably. And God have mercy. I'm sorry to say that the church, what few believers they are failing miserably today. And they're not carrying out their mission. And reason that our world and our country and our land is so chaotic and so filthy and nude and naked and vile and wretched is because of lack of the preaching, a real preaching of the Word of God. A famine in the land, not of bread and water, but a hearing the real Word of God. It's not being preached. No preachers around. God have mercy. Very, very few around that's been God called heaven sent. Boy, I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not. Neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, said to me, Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Receive, he said, in your heart, and hear with your ears. Don't turn a deaf in an ear. You be not just a hearer, but a doer. And go get thee unto them of the captivity, unto the children of my people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether we hear or whether we forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, as the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me, yet great heaviness upon him. Paul talked about great heaviness, continuous sorrow, the loss of the dying world, his people, Israel, that they might be saved, and for the loss of the dying world. When I think about that, look at it, I say, God help, woe is me. He says, great heaviness, I've got heaviness, but great heaviness and a continuous sorrow. Boy, what a real man of God. If you don't have that, you need that. We all need that. If we expect to win souls and be moved with bounds of compassion and reach those that some folk can't reach, but we can if God gives us the power and the ability to do so, he saves to the uttermost, to the guttermost. Those know the strength of the Lord. I don't care how hard they are, God's able to get them and save them if we'll just be his instrument of glory and magnification and magnify his name and be stable and steadfast. Then I came to them of the captive of Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And when he got there, he sat down right among them. He was so astonished, he just had to sit there. It was like when his friend, the so-called friend of Job, come, and they were so overwhelmed by how he looked, how pitiful he was. His body was scabby, was skin and bone, it was pocket looking, his flesh was just about dark looking. I mean, he was dead warmed over, skeleton there. So they were so overwhelmed with it, they couldn't believe what they were saying. So they began to ridicule him instead of comfort him, but it was a trial for him. And of course, God bless him, and made him multiply his latter end greater than the first end. And you say about the seven children that he had, they went to heaven. They were saved, but God took them on out, and it was a trial for Job, and Job, of course, was faithful, and God blessed him. The latter end was greater than the first. But these 7 days he came, and he was dumbfounded. He came to pass in the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came, he saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and then thou givest him not warning, nor speak to the one of the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hands. If you don't tell him, he's going to die in iniquity. If you don't tell him, said, I'm going to require it of your hand. You better get the word of God out. Don't you worry about where it falls, what it does. It's not starting void. Speak what I give you. Don't hold back. Give what I give. And if thou warn the wicked, and he turns from his wicked way, from his wickedness, wicked way, he shall die. He shall die if he turn from his wicked. If he doesn't turn from his wicked way, he shall die of iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteous and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. The righteous which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will require thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sinneth not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And then lo, was there a fun meeting, and he said unto me, Rise, go forth into the plain, and I will talk, well, I will there talk with thee. Then I rose and went forth to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there at the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit entered into me and set me up on my feet, spake with me and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, son of man, behold, thou shalt put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. So they're going to stop you from speaking to them. Don't you worry about it. Just go into your house and shut up your door. And sit in there, till I move and speak, and I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, thou shalt be dumb. Thou shalt not be them reprover, for their rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. I'm going to quit there, but I want you to read on chapter 4 and read many chapters as you like to do, and then go back and study. Read it, and then go back and study over what you read. This is a portrait. He's taking a tile here, and he's going to draw a picture about the siege that's laid there round about Jerusalem itself. He's talking about what's transpiring and going to take place, of course, concerning the city, the beloved city, the Lord chose to place his name there. Now, all this about the righteous, about the wicked, I can't define it. I've thought about it, prayed over it, and I can't tell you exactly. I can't divide it rightly, just as of yet. But there's a reason for it. And I'm going to study over it. When God permits me to have the understanding, he'll give it to me. But I don't know how to define the righteous there and talking about him dying in sin. I don't know. There's something there, and I've not seen it, but God's got it, and if he wants me to have it, he will. So I'm telling you so that you won't wonder about it. I don't know. A lot of things I don't know. That I don't know. I've read over it, and I've had, in time past, seemed like a long time back, I had thought a little bit of understanding concerning some of it, but it's left my mind. So anyhow, when God gives me some understanding, I'll share with you what I'm talking about the wicked and about the iniquity and about the righteous and his sins. And we'll clarify that, speak about that as soon as God gives me clarity. I don't have it. I can't do it without it. So anybody got a question, a comment, anything in your heart you'd like to ask here? If you do, feel free to think special.